Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
A glossary of terminology and jargon from Dante Valentine is included on the final track of this recording. Graphic Audio presents Lilith St. Croix's Dante Valentine. Narrated by Colleen Delaney. With performances by Christopher Sheeran, Thomas Keegan, Kimberly Gilbert, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Mort Shelby, Joseph Thornhill, Elizabeth Jernigan, Joe Brack, Terence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, and Johann Detweiler. Book 1, Working for the Devil, Part 2.
I stamped into the practice room just as the afternoon heat began to get thick and heavy, black-stacked clouds massing over the city. There would be rain soon, a monsoon-like downpour. Thunder and lightning would accompany the rain, and by the time full dark fell, the steaming city might get some relief. I wasn't wearing my bag or my coat, just jeans and a fresh microfiber shirt, boots and my rings. My hair was wet, braided back tightly, and I'd re-lacquered my fingernails with the molecule drip that made them tough as claws. The practice room was a long hall floored with tatami, weapons racked on the wall and three heavy bags ranged in a row near the door. One wall was mirrored, a ballet bar bolted to the mirror.
That probably wasn't here before. Jace must have put that in.
Eddie faced Jace in the center of the room. Jace had a Joe staff, and Eddie had one too. They both wore black silky pants, and Eddie wore a white cotton tank top that did nothing to disguise just how hairy he really was. I leaned against the door jamb to watch. Jace, stripped to the waist, held his staff with both hands. Muscle flickered under his skin. The scorpion tattoo on his left shoulder blade moving slightly, his golden hair plastered down with sweat. Gabe was stretching out, well away from them. She went into a full front split, then leaned forward to touch her forehead to her front knee.
Show off.
The ghost of pain behind my eyes reminded me of backlash. Jaframel, his arms folded, leaned against the wall on the other side of the heavy bags. The windows were covered with sheer curtains, but the sun pouring in still made it a little too warm. Nobody had flipped on the climate control in here. I watched as Eddie moved in, Jace parrying strikes. I watched the fight, almost feeling the wood balanced in my own hands. Eddie smacked upward, meaning to catch Jace in the face. It was a dirty move, but they were both good enough. And with two necromancers standing by, if someone caught a bad strike, we were well prepared to handle it. Jaframel approached me slowly.
Better?
Behind him, the sunlight coining through the windows dimmed. The clouds had arrived. That didn't break the heat, though. It just made one more conscious of the awful humidity pressing against skin and breath. I don't know why heat rose to stain my cheeks. I glanced up at his unremarkable, saturnine face.
Yeah, thanks.
I've seen backlash before. The best thing for it is power and letting the pain pass.
Thanks. It helps to have someone there during the...
Eddie's strike wrenched Jace's staff out of his hands.
Whoa. That's the first time I've seen Jace lose its staves with Eddie.
Quit fucking around and give me a fight, Hoodoo! God damn it! You ain't no fucking good to us to strike it!
Shut up, Dirt Witch. You want to switch to blades?
You'll fucking kill yourself.
Eddie scooped up Jace's staff, tossed it at him. Jace's hand flashed up. He caught the smooth wood, then turned it vertically.
Thanks anyway. It's been a while since I saw you make an amateur move like that.
Eddie glanced over Jace's shoulder at me.
Hey! Danny! Come on over here and work his fidgets out, will ya? Goddamn boy can't even hold his staff!
I had expected this.
Fine. We'd come to this sooner or later.
I looked up at the demon's face, quiet and shuddered.
I'm gonna spar with Jace. I want you to stay out of it, all right?
Jaframel nodded his dark head. Gabe bounced to her feet.
Cool. I've missed watching you two fight. It's better than a holovid.
I ignored her.
What would piss Jace off most?
I looked up at the demon again. A faint breeze swept through the room, carrying the promise of thunder with it.
Okay.
I stepped close to the demon, went up on tiptoe, my hand curling around his shoulder, the smell of musk and dark power enveloping me.
Hey!
I pulled on his shoulder and he bent a little, obediently. I kissed his cheek. Just a peck. I heard Jace's indrawn breath and knew I was halfway to winning.
He fights better when he's angry anyway.
Thanks, Jaframel.
He looked surprised.
It helps to have someone there while I'm in pain.
My tone was a little more intimate than I'd planned.
I appreciate it.
He nodded once, sharply, and straightened, his gaze flicking away from me. I turned back to the practice room. Gabe's jaw dropped. She sidled back, almost to the mirrored wall. Eddie followed her, watching Jace, white teeth showing in a wide grin. Jace walked deliberately over to a rack near the windows and put his staff up, scooped up his scabbarded sword.
I'm game for it, if Danny is.
I had to fight the smile that wanted to pull my lips up.
Careful, Danny. You haven't fought him in a while. Ease into this.
I made it to the center of the room. I hadn't even stretched out beyond my usual morning routine. Jace carried his sword, approached me cautiously on his booted feet.
Hi, sweetheart.
His blue eyes locked with mine. It was his usual greeting, usually followed by a kiss. My body remembered the sound of that voice. I let myself smile then. My rings gave out a low, sustained humming. Gabe turned to the demon.
You're in for a treat. Jace and Danny are the best in the biz. They used to do naked blade, slickboard duels back in the day. And...
Shh! I want to see this.
Hi, baby.
I held my sword, fingers curled loosely around scabbard and hilt.
Missed me?
Every damn day.
Jace's face was set. His shoulders were loose and easy.
Maybe I didn't piss him off as much as I thought.
Every single motherfucking day.
Shouldn't have left.
Didn't have a choice.
We circled each other, wary. I shifted my weight forward, playing through the sequence that would end with his head separated from his body. He countered almost immediately and we went back to circling.
Point for him. He made me twitch first.
Yeah, you were in such a hurry you didn't even leave a note. Must have been really deep and hot, Jace, for you to just get up and leave. What was her name?
I've been a fucking monk since our last time, sweetheart.
Second point for me. I pushed him too far.
I hope it's made you a better fighter than you were as a lover.
I tacked that on just to goose him.
You had no complaints.
None I told you to your face.
He was smiling again. He moved in, testing, and I countered.
Come on. When are they gonna...
Shh. Just wait.
I caught a flash of Jaffra Mel watching, hands behind his back, his eyes almost spitting sparks.
Try me again, sweetheart. I've been dying for it.
Good for you.
I shuffled back to the side. Things were rapidly heating up.
Get used to disappointment.
You don't want an explanation?
3 years too late, Jace. All I want to do now is forget you ever existed.
His eyes narrowed.
Good luck. I just bought myself free of the Corvin family, sweets. And I have some time on my hands. Want to help me fill it?
I'd rather turn into a chill freak whore.
The blade came free of the sheath just as his did.
Now.
Just wait.
You say the sweetest.
He had moved in with no warning. I countered. Now we separated.
You gotten quicker?
And you still talk too goddamn much.
I wished I could spit. That would add something to the festivities.
I should put my tongue to better use.
He gave me a flash of the famous Monroe grin. The one that had mob groupies following him around all the time.
Try it on someone who cares, fucker.
That broke the tension. We moved in on each other, feet shuffling, sparks spraying from the metal and the power in the air. He wasn't trying very hard, and I almost got him twice before he realized I was serious and began to scramble. Cut over him, spin kick. He tried to lock me into a core-a-core, where his height and weight could overpower me, but that was an old trick. Move, 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 scabbard flying in to jab him in the ribs. It was a cheap shot, but every little bit told. I had speed and endurance, he had power and a different type of endurance. Parry, parry. A short thrust, he had to shuffle back to escape. Wall coming up fast.
Am I gonna cheat or am I gonna...
I cheated. I popped my left hand forward, the scabbard held horizontal, and a dart of power flashed from my rings, spattered on his defenses. We separated. It bought me some breathing room.
Cheater!
Sweat rolled down his forehead, his hair truly soaked now. I showed my teeth. Sweat dripped down the shallow channel of my spine. My ribs flared.
We're full on now, sweetheart? You sure? Last time we did this, I spanked your ass.
Come on over here and find out, Monroe.
My katana dipped into guard. He was coming in low, his shielding swirling with the peculiar spiky turbulence of a shaman. Impossible to predict. I was glowing, glitter spattering through my aura, reacting to his nearness, and to my own defenses springing up, locking with his. We closed in again, and this time, he was serious. Power tore through the air. Ozone, smell of musk, the mark on my shoulder suddenly coming alive. He was using a pattern I didn't recognize, but muscle memory took over again, and it was like riding a slickboard, trembling on the outer edge of adrenaline control. Fully alive, fully aware, kiss of breeze against my sweaty forehead. Neither of us flinched at the lightning. Spin, half falling.
Get up, Danny!
Kicked his bad knee. Felt the flare of sick pain from his shielding, but he was too hyped on adrenaline to slow down. We closed again, but I had momentum. Push. Across the room running. His face inches from mine. Eyes locked. My lips peeled back with effort. Familiar. Every other time we'd fought, blurring under my skin. Memory and intuition and action. Glass. I drove him through the window. Separating from him for long enough to gain footing on the stone walk outside, heavy scent of wet green air rising from the garden on the other side of the strip of stone flags. I cut overhand. He batted it away with more luck than strength. His shielding flared, trying to throw me off. I reacted without thinking, tearing power from the air and smashing it at him. Rain spattering against my skin, stinging hard. Rivulets of water down Jace's face. We were soaked to the bone and suddenly chill. breath steaming.
No think! Move! Move!
Jado-sensei screamed in my memory. I didn't have to hold back.
Alive! Alive! See you stay that way! Alive! Alive!
He fell, blood striping his face, landing sprawled on the marble. My blade kissed his throat. For a moment, I was tempted.
Push the blade in. No resistance. You can watch him bleed. Watch the soul leave the body. Watch the sparks fly.
Do you give?
My ribs flared. His eyes were closed, head tipped back, throat exposed. Steel caressed the vulnerable place where his pulse beat. My hands weren't shaking, but they were close.
Of course. Anything you want, Valentine.
I let the temptation slide away.
Not today. I won't kill him today. Gods, think of the paperwork.
Stay off my case, Monroe.
I sheathed my blade, suddenly aware that the rain drenched both of us. My shirt stuck to my body, my jeans chafing, boots sloshing in foaming water. I offered him my hand, still tuned to combat, watching his blade just in case.
Sure.
He took my hand. I hauled him up from the stone walk-turned river.
You still look good when you fight, sweetheart.
I tore my fingers out of his, watched as he sheathed his sword. Both of us were bloody. Scraped knuckles, a cut on his scalp, his knee, a shallow slice on my shield arm, my back on fire.
Good match. You've been practicing.
So have you. That double eight thing kicked my ass.
Where'd you learn that little shuffle trick? That's nice.
I pushed a strand of wet hair out of my face. No matter how tightly I braided, sometimes little bits worked free.
Around and about. You still do knife work?
His hair streamed with water, dark and plastered against his forehead.
When the occasion calls for it.
I stepped through the shattered window.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Just a window. God damn, you're good.
I train with Jado almost every day when I'm not on a job.
That old dragon? Chango, love you, girl. No wonder you're good.
He stepped through, shaking the water off his hair and hands. Stamping his feet.
Oh, that'll foul the mats. I wonder if broken glass ground into tatami is a bad idea. Of course it is. Maybe he can afford it.
I couldn't even get time with him. Some say he only trains women.
No, there's men too. But he says women are better. Quicker reaction time. More evil.
I found myself smiling. Adrenaline laid its thin copper taste against my palate. Now I wanted a hot bath, and I wanted sex.
Too bad. Nobody here but unavailable men. And I don't want to trust the local escorts.
Jace's hand closed around my wrist. His skin was warm, almost too warm. His shield rubbing against mine. His thumb drifted over my skin. An intimate touch.
Danny.
I tore my hand away again.
Danny!
No, Jace, forget it. That's all you're gonna get from me.
It's a shame. I remember how good it used to be after sparring sessions.
His eyebrow quirked a little, even with blood running down his face. Head wounds are messy. He was still beautiful. I'd always liked blondes. Maybe because I had to dye my hair to fit in with necromance codes.
Well, if you hadn't dumped me 3 years ago, you might be a little luckier now.
I turned away. Gabe and Eddie were watching us. Gabe's eyes were round, Eddie's were narrowed, and he looked about 10 seconds away from a growl. He had his arm over Gabe's shoulders. She leaned into his body as if she belonged there. Jaframel stood bolt upright, his hands behind him. His eyes were half-lidded, and the smell of demon filled the entire practice room, warring with the tide of rain-washed air pouring in through the broken window. His coat smoked and fumed with darkness. A psychic stain spreading out from him.
I don't know if that's really a coat.
I stopped short, staring at him.
What else could it be? Wings? And exoskeleton?
Jace went utterly still beside me.
Is that it? You're dating a demon?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
I stalked away from him.
Your dick always gets the better of you, Jace. Maybe you should try thinking with your brain next time. Thanks for the sparring, I needed it. Next time I'll spar with Jeff Ramel. He's a real challenge.
I was so happy with myself, I used more of Jaff's name, and sounded as if I was talking about someone else. The name fits smoothly against my tongue.
Jeff Ramel, I wonder what it means. And if I call him by his full name, what will happen?
Fucking hell!
That's enough!
Eddie pulled back on Gabe's shoulders. The emerald in her cheek flashed, sending a spear of green light through the heavy air.
Hades, haven't you two finished flirting? Get over it already so we can find a fucking demon and get rid of our happy little pet here.
Jeff Ramel, come on. The rest of you, we're gonna recon in 2 hours when the rain stops and it gets darker. I'll expect all of you to be ready.
Oh, for fuck!
Josh!
Yeah?
Danny?
I didn't turn around. Jeff Ramel hovered near my shoulder. I hadn't seen him blink across the intervening space, and that made me vaguely nervous.
Thanks for the sparring. I love working with you.
Sorry, Jace. It's too late. I work alone.
Then I strode out of the practice room, my anger palpable in the air, hearing Jace's awful silence behind me. I'd won both battles.
Good for me.
Jeff Ramel didn't say anything until we reached the blue suite. He closed the door behind us, precisely locking it, the defenses he'd set in the walls humming as soon as I entered the room.
That was not wise. A jealous man does not work well.
Jace works better when he's under pressure.
I unwound my wet hair from its braid.
And he deserved it.
My rings lay dark and silent against my fingers now. I felt better. The headache eased out by pulling on power from the well of the city now that my body had acclimatized, my back stopping its low-level cramping. I'd stretch out after a hot bath and be ready for recon. My hands shook. I'd just faced Jace over a sword again.
3 years. 3 years and he hasn't even tried to explain yet. Just acts as if...
I could feel the weight of Jeff Ramel's green gaze on my back. Jace didn't matter. I'd said he didn't matter, that I didn't care anymore. I'd sworn many times, out loud and silently, that I was over Jason Monroe.
Period. End of story. End of spell. So mote it be. Amen. Fini.
Nevertheless, you should not have used me to prick his jealousy.
It's his problem, not mine. My problem is finding Santino and getting that egg back to Lucifer. Besides, he's only human. It's not like he can hurt you if he decides to do something stupid.
Perhaps. But even demons understand jealousy, Dante.
I started to unbutton my shirt, tossing my sword on the bed.
Safe enough. At least for now.
Next time I'll spar with you. At least you'll give me a workout.
If I was over Jace, I was over him. Right?
Right?
You are not sparring with him.
The demon leaned on the door, his arms folded on his chest, his eyes half-lidded. There was a faint red stain on his caramel cheeks.
Dear God, is he blushing?
You were trying to kill him.
I don't see any other way to play. I'm gonna clean up.
I headed for the bathroom.
As you like.
I stopped and looked back at him, my shaking fingers pausing on the fourth button.
Shit. I didn't do anything wrong. I simply sparred with Jason, made it clear he doesn't affect me anymore. Now everyone knows what's going on. It's official. It's all above board and timestamped. I didn't do anything wrong.
What? Go ahead and say it.
Jeff Ramel didn't move. He might as well have been a statue leaning against the door. Warm electric light caressed the planes of his face, sparked in his eyes. The faint reddish stain had drained from his cheeks.
You are trifling with his affections and using me to do so. The game is exceedingly dangerous.
I examined him.
What are you really trying to tell me? Tears, Jeff Ramel. That Jace has some sort of feeling for me? Why did he leave then, huh? You answer me that.
If you like, I will find out.
I clutched my shirt together.
I don't want to know. If it was important, he would have sent me a message or something. I'm not interested in his excuses now.
Then stop needling him. Treat him as an equal.
Hey, Demon, I don't know if you noticed, but everybody gets the short end of the stick from me.
Do not use me to make a human jealous, Dante. It is very unwise of you.
Sekhmet Sa'es, I didn't. Don't get your girdle in a twist.
You did, Dante. I would advise you not to trifle with him, and not to trifle with me either.
He didn't move, but the air swirled uneasily. That thunder outside was enough to raise the hairs on my nape. The demon's stain on my aura moved, drawing closer to my skin. A gentle brush against the edges of my awareness.
Like you care.
I turned on my heel, stalking for the bathroom.
Leave it alone, Hellspawn. This is a human thing.
He said nothing. I started peeling off my wet clothes.
God damn it!
I yanked my jeans down and kicked them into the corner.
Fuck! I could really hate them both, couldn't I? Sure I could. Especially the gods be damned demon, because...
I found myself staring in the mirror. Wet, lank, dead black seaweed hair. Indeterminate dark eyes. Pale face. Dark rings under my eyes. My mouth pulled tight in a bitter grimace. My hands tensed. My tattoo shifted uneasily. Serpents writhing against winged staff. The emerald turning dark and glittering angrily.
Because he's right. I want Jace to suffer. I want him to lose his temper. I want to win, goddammit, even if it's a hollow victory. I want him to hurt. Fuck.
I looked at my eyes. Dark circles, mouth drawn tight, power trembling at the outer edge of my control.
Take a deep breath, Danny. Take a deep breath and get cool with the program, okay? Chill down. Chill down. I'm gonna die. No, shut up. If I die, I'm taking Santino with me. I owe Doreen. And I've lived long enough.
It sounded good, but the woman in the mirror didn't believe it. I had a me I was just beginning to piece together and go on with. I didn't want to die.
How much longer would you live anyway, going up against Santino, Danny? Huh? Not very much longer. Just long enough to make him regret it. Good. So stop fooling around. I don't want to die. I don't have a choice. If the god takes me, he takes me. I still don't want to die. Too fucking bad.
I turned away from the mirror. I couldn't take looking at myself any longer.
Diablo Santino.
Jace had the knife pressed against the thin Hispanic's throat.
Okay.
Gabe and Eddie had the mouth of the alley, and the demon stood behind me. I watched the man's eyes flicker, white rolling around their edges. He was sweating, great drops of water sliding down his face. The reek of fear warred with the smell of demon. The alley was piled with garbage, hot and rank and wet from the afternoon's rain. It was only slightly cooler. My hair, trapped in a braid, was twisted into a knot at my nape. I looked down at my wrist, having just scanned the man in. The plug-in, clear placilica, smoothed over my dat band, lit up with a string of code.
He's got a warrant, Jace. Do we haul him in?
The Omni in the first H-dock, slim squares of placilica with clear hegemony military tech flex circuits, I'd already plastered over my dat band. I'd smoothed the second H-dock over Jaframel's wrist. We were officially on a hunt now, plugged into the hegemony police nets and immune to a few laws having to do with general murder and chaos, as long as the murder and chaos served the purpose of bringing our bounty in. The night sky was choked with clouds, though the downpour had stopped, and steaming heat closed us in a bubble of damp discomfort. Now I knew what the inside of a rice cooker felt like. The man was sweating, his eyes rolling. He wore a loose white cotton shirt and frayed khakis, his huaraches digging into the pavement as he tried to back through the rough earth brick wall behind him. One of his hands hit the dumpster Jace had trapped him beside. Jace was shaking down his contacts, and none of them looked happy to see him. Considering he was walking around with two necromancers, I didn't blame them. Still, Jace was savage. He was in his element here. The first contact had tried to dive out of a fourth-story window onto bare concrete to get away from him. I was beginning to think that he had a reputation. A few minutes ago, Jace had said something very low in Portugueso. The man's eyes had flicked past his shoulder, fastened on me, and he had gibbered something. Jace had asked a couple more questions, both answered in a high whine. That was when Jace had laid the knife blade against the man's cheek. Now he let the man go, tossing him onto the floor of the alley, the knife disappearing. As soon as he turned around, his eyes thoughtful, I knew there was trouble.
What was all that?
I looked down at the man on the pavement. He seemed to be in an ecstasy of fear.
And are we hauling him in?
No. Let him go. He's wetting his pants anyway. Come on, Danny. We got a powwow.
Jay straightened his shoulders. Gabe and Eddie drifted in from the mouth of the alley.
Good news. There's a set of heavies coming through the neighborhood, Jace. Not sure if they're looking for you.
They're not. Word is the Corvin family's looking to capture Danny. Alive and unarmed. Someone is putting the squeeze on the mob down here.
Jace's eyes didn't move from mine. He wore dark blue, shirt and jeans, blending into the night. He dropped his hand to his sword hilt, silently tapped blunt fingers in a pattern I recognized.
Wonder who that could be.
Santino?
Why would the mob get involved? Especially a mob family I hadn't ever tangled with. Then again, the mob didn't want us to go after Santino last time, because they were in the same corporate bed with him when it came to illegal augments. The memory made my lip curl. Gods above and below, how I hated the mob. Behind me, Jace's contact monkeyed up a splitting, rotten wood fence and dropped down the other side.
Don't think so. I've got enemies too, and you came in on a public transport as Saint City Police Irregulars. Fun. About as stealthy as a skinless berserker.
He grinned, lips stretching back from his teeth in a grimace I remembered. Jace was furious inside.
Why? Why would that make him furious?
So what do we do now? They're getting kind of close, Monroe.
Do? I just told Jose to spread the word that Danny Valentine's under my personal protection. As for those clumsy fuckers moving in, we either run or we send the message that she ain't gonna come cheap. My vote goes for the latter. We'll make it easier to get information, scare some people. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm up for a fight. Yeah.
Me too.
Lucky you, Danny. You've got an admirer or two. Or 100.
I can't think of why. Look at this. I just blew into town and already people want to kill me.
Not kill. Capture. Alive and unharmed.
For how much?
5 million standard credits.
Silence. I looked at Gabe. Her jaw dropped. She had her hair in two braids like a demented schoolgirl. One hung forward over her slim shoulder, the other dangled in back. Her emerald glittered in the darkness. Even in a police rig and synth-wool coat in the boiling heat, she looked cool, calm, and precise. Jace turned to the demon.
Take her back to the house. Watch her. Don't you even send her to the bathroom alone.
Now wait just one goddamn second. This is my hunt. I'm not gonna be hauled around like a piece of baggage.
Give us some time to clear the street and do some recon, Danny.
He sounded reasonable, but a tick in his cheek was jumping. That meant trouble. Heavy trouble. There was something Jace wasn't telling.
It's best. You know it's best.
This is my hunt. You are not taking over. Is that clear?
This serves no purpose. Dante?
Let's go kick some ass! Don't fuck with me on my hunt, Jace.
Danny! You should get undercover until we can sort out who's looking for you.
Jace's hand curled around his sword hilt. He was two steps away from rage, and I'd only seen Jason Monroe in a rage twice before.
I'm not backing down, Jace. Come on.
Fine. But after that, we're going back and hashing this out.
Good enough.
I was hungry anyway, and I wanted a quiet place to think.
Let's go rumble.
Standard form?
Yeah. Watch out for Danny, everyone. He'll look to net her.
Jace didn't look away from me, even when my lip lifted.
I can take care of myself.
I thumbed my blade free of the scabbard.
Jeff Hermel, we're gonna mix. Kill the opposition as long as they're not innocent bystanders, okay?
As you like. I will watch over you, Dante. They are coming quickly. We had best go now.
Oh, second, Zayas. Get moving, standard form. Jace, you take point. Gabe, keep Eddie from going berserk.
Danny?
Gabe turned, her right hand sliding below her left armpit.
They're here.
As if to underscore her words, a plas bolt crackled past. I looked up. They'd gotten onto the roofs.
Stupid. Sloppy. I'm gonna smack Jace hard for this.
Out! Take it street side. Go!
I shoved Jace. We ran.
12 of them.
Drop their ubi!
Eddie gasped out something that might have been the beginning of a chant. I threw my right hand up.
Acaela usque ad centrum!
My second ring, amber cabochon, sparked and crackled. And a milky shimmer in the air separated around each of us. Juggling a spell while running was bad enough, but definitely worth the effort. Suddenly, a plas bolt streaked the air and splashed against the shimmer shield surrounding Gabe. Judging from her involuntary vocal, Gabe was probably expecting to be flung on the pavement. I pumped power into the shimmers, drawing from the city's well, grateful I'd already suffered through the migraine of backlash. Eddie and Gabe would be crippled by their limited ability to draw on Nuevo Rio power unless they had taken the time to acclimatize themselves. Gabe grabbed half the load on the shimmer shields away from me, her mental touch light and deft.
Do something!
We plunged into the nighttime crowd. I thought Gabe was screaming at me instead of Jaffamel. So I popped the shields down, freeing them from my conscious control, and stopped short. I turned, my sword sliding free of the sheath. The crowd of Nuevo Rios exploded away from me, making signs against the evil eye. I met the first hired thug. He didn't have a sword, but he had a machete. I knocked the plas gun out of his hand with a flicker of my scabbard. He cut overhand, a sloppy move, expecting me to be dumb enough not to expect it. I dispatched him with a short thrust and backed up as they converged on me. Six dark-eyed, dark-haired men. One of them, a Vodun, shaking his staff. The bits of metal and circuit boards attached to it jingled. I banished the screams of the crowd from my consciousness.
Six against one.
I twisted my blade free from the body on the ground.
I'm gonna enjoy this. Watch that shaman, he's the dangerous one.
I stood my ground, letting them come to me. Pavement cracking underneath me. The dark pulsing heartbeat of the city resounding. A tap line opened to feed me power from the city's ambient energy. The shimmer shields crackled as more plas bolts raked the ground. The H-Doc on my wrist flashed, reading the layout of the fight, alerted by the spike of plas gun bolts, but the cops wouldn't interfere. This was a private hunt. A dark shape streaked past me, silver gun flashing. Jaffamel met the six with gunfire. He punched one in the face, sending him flying back. I was left facing the shaman, who locked shields with me and proceeded to blow a few circuits in my shimmer shield with a swift, nasty attack of power.
He's good.
I held my sword level, metal gleaming, rings sparking as I countered, grabbing all available power in my range. The mark on my shoulder crunching with sudden pain as the demon let out a shattering roar. Jace drove past me, engaging the Vodun.
Damn it! Jace, he was mine!
Jace made a quick motion and something like a tiger made of solid light and dapples of shadow, Jace's prime fighting construct, tore itself out of the air and descended on the other Vodun.
Where are the rest of them?
I heard Gabe. I kept the shield steady, juggling them as I bolted back for Gabe and Eddie. Jace could handle himself. The skinman was growling as he fought with another shaman. This one, a wizened old nut-brown man with streaks and dapples of red paint on his face. Gabe, her face contorted into a mask of rage, was dueling a tall mercenary. He wasn't a Nuevo Rio, too pale, sandy blonde hair, but he wore an assassin's rig and used a short thrusting sword. A plas bolt splashed against the edge of my torn shimmer shield, and the resultant power flare nearly knocked me to my knees. I staggered, my forward momentum pushing me just like riding a slickboard, and I threw myself on the two Nuevo Rios edging for Gabe's back. One of them clipped me on the shoulder with a thrown knife. Before I cut him down, pain blooming along my nerves like spiked oil. The other engaged me, He was a huge hulking mass of weightlifting muscle and black market augmentations. I made my cut, and a bright jet of arterial blood splashed out of his neck. He was still trying to come for me when I took off his right hand with the plas gun still clasped in it. I finished by whirling and opening his belly with two cuts. Then, it was over. I stood, watching the last one, a chill freak if ever I saw one, die, his eyes dimming, the spark exiting his chemical-abused body.
Anubis et their ka. That was for Lewis, you sack of chill shit.
The street was now deserted, but eyes glittered in the shadows. If we left the bodies, they would be stripped and harvested in minutes.
Chill freaks. I hate the motherfucking chill freaks.
Three things I hated. The mob, chill freaks, Santino. Each one of them had stolen something from me. Santino stole Doreen. The mob had helped steal Doreen. And Chill and the mob had stolen Lewis and fucked up too many bounties to count. Jaffermel's hand closed around my wounded shoulder. I flinched. I hadn't even sensed him behind me. That was starting to weird me out.
You're hurt.
His hand bit down, a hot, snarling mass of power forcing its way into the wound. I gritted my teeth, feeling muscle knit itself together. I'd been so pumped on adrenaline, I'd barely noticed the strike.
My apologies.
Why? You had enough to deal with.
I looked down at the body on the pavement. True death had occurred, but the nerves were still glowing with false life, what necromancers called foxfire. The soul was gone.
I hate chill freaks.
Lewis, his beaky face splashed with blood, leered up in my memory. I'd been collared on a rare excursion with my social worker when a chill freak had killed him. I'd only been a kid. Unable to protect him, he'd told me to run and I had. The cops had arrived too late. Lewis had taught me to read, left me his books and his love of the classics. I had been lucky to have such a gentle social worker, one who was so genuinely interested in me, even if I'd been unable to tell him the truth about Rigor Hall because of the collar. When he died, I'd been given a social worker who could have cared less that I was in hell and helpless. She was too busy collecting her checks and getting strung out on synth hash to pay any attention to the kid she was supposed to be looking out for. When Rigor Hall had closed down and the news of what Mirovich had done to the kids became common knowledge, I never even got an apology from the stupid bitch. After that, I refused to see any social workers at all.
I am to protect you.
Up until I face Santino, I'm capable of taking care of myself.
I looked up. Eddie held Gabe, kissing her forehead.
You okay?
Gabe nodded her assent. I looked hurriedly away. I didn't want to think about why it hurt me to see them together sometimes.
Danny? Danny!
I'm fine.
I whipped my sword through the air, blood splashing from its shimmer. Power smoked along the blade, an habitual cleaning of the bright steel. I slid it back into the sheath.
Damn it, Jace! You took the shaman. He was mine.
Sorry. Let's move, kids. My instinct tells me that was only the first wave. Leave the bodies for harvest.
You mind not giving orders on my hunt?
I looked up at the demon. His face was set, his eyes sparking with radioactive green.
Thanks, Jaffermel.
Where now?
Back to Jace's house. This kind of changes the situation a little.
Gabe had finally stopped clinching with Eddie.
They were serious. 5 million credits? Holy fuck, Danny, what'd you do?
I didn't do anything. I've been forced into this.
I set off down the pavement after scanning the bodies. We should have stopped to search them, but I was too shaken to pause. I wanted a drink. I poured a full glass of brandy, handed it to the demon, and took a long pull off the bottle. It was good stuff. Silken smooth, igniting like a thunderball in my belly. Jace slugged a hit of vodka. Gabe swabbed at Eddie's arm with paroxin. I waited a few moments, then took another pull from the bottle. My other hand white-knuckled on my sword.
Careful with that, Danny. We need you sober.
Fuck you. Why does the Corvin family want me, Jace? What aren't you telling me?
You swore you were free and clear of the mob when you met me, and I believed you. Silly me.
Don't worry about the Corvin, sweetheart. I'll take them down if they so much as touch you.
You still work for them, don't you, Jace? That's why you didn't want to talk about it. Once mob, always mob. You can't take them down.
Jace's face was bloodless under a mask of sweat, grime, and a spatter of blood high on his left cheek.
I bought myself free of the Corvins, Danny. They don't own me.
He took another slug of vodka, smacked the shot glass down on the counter. I turned to look at the demon.
Jeff?
He shrugged.
God's damn shrugging, man.
He's not a man, Danny. He's a demon.
The thought struck me with almost physical force. I stopped, staring at him. When had I started thinking about him as if he was human? That didn't bode well. I tipped the bottle up to my lips again, but Jaframel set his untouched glass down on the bar and took the bottle from me, his fingers hot against mine.
No, Dante. Please. I will not allow you to be harmed.
Well, that's comforting.
And oddly enough, it was.
Okay.
The brandy settled into a warm glow behind my breastbone.
So the Corvins want me alive. What the fuck for? And...
A horrible thought struck me as I just finished turning to face Jaframel. He set the bottle down beside his glass, watching my face.
Dante?
I stood stock still, frozen, my entire body gone cold.
Abra told me Jace is working for the Corvins. The Corvins want me alive, and they're paying so much. Someone else is leaning on them, someone big. Jace and the Corvins, he's one of them. Once mob, always mob.
Danny!
Gabe must have caught my sudden stillness, because she was staring at me too, her dark eyes wide.
I've got to go up to my room. Excuse me.
I sounded like a young girl viciously embarrassed at her first party. I was halfway to the door before Jaframel fell into step beside me. He said nothing.
Danny, what's wrong? Danny!
I found the grand wide staircase and started to climb, the premonition beating under my skin. Premonition and shock.
It couldn't be. It can't be. But he betrayed me once, didn't he? Left without a word. What do you want to bet he was called down here by the Corvins and that's why he left? Abra warned me. She knew. And now he's so willing to help, so very hospitable. Stay in my house, it's safer there. He said he bought himself free of the Corvins, but I know the mob. You never get free. Even if he bought something from them. They can squeeze him until he hands over an ex-girlfriend, can't they?
My brain shied away from the cold, logical conclusion. I didn't want to believe it. The demon stepped behind me, soundless, his musky aura closing me in. A shielding I ignored because I didn't have time or concentration to spare to shake it aside. He only touched me once, a subtle push on my blood-crusted shoulder when I almost got lost in the hallways. When we reached the blue room, I shoved the door open and bolted inside, trembling. I stopped. The room, instead of blue, was now white. Heavy fragrance drenched the air. Flowers. White flowers. Lotuses. Roses. Lilies scattered over the room as if a snowstorm had dropped its blossoms. Goose flesh raced up my arm, spilled down my back. My nipples drew up hard as pebbles. The flowers lay on every flat surface, even the floor. The smell was stifling, heady and cloying. They piled on the bed, fluttered near the window, and I could see the bathroom was full of them too. Santino had sent blue flowers to Doreen. Great sprays and cascades of flowers in every shade of blue. I still couldn't look at irises or blue roses or cornflowers without shuddering.
Dante?
Jaframel closed the door, then stepped aside.
My shields are intact. Only the house servants could have...
They were probably delivered and brought up by the staff. Look, I need to change. And pack my bag.
I flattened my free hand against the door to brace myself.
Can you get me out of here without Jace's shields reacting?
Of course.
He lifted one shoulder and dropped it. All things should be so easy, that shrug said.
What is this? Did your former lover, perhaps?
Santino sent all his victims flowers. The demon stilled, his eyes turning incandescent.
He knows. He knows I'm here and looking for him. And I'm a necromance. He's picked me as his next victim.
Dante.
That means I won't have to worry about finding him. He'll find me.
The world roared underneath me, spinning carelessly away, almost like a slick board, but my feet slipping. Jaff took me by the shoulders.
Dante, stop. Breathe. Just breathe.
His fingers bit in, and he shook me slightly. I tasted apples, and the sour smell of my own fear. My left shoulder gave a livid, crunching flare of pain, shocking me back into myself. I found myself shaking, my hands trembling, the demon's chin resting atop my head, his smell enfolding me. His arms closed around me, the feverish heat of hell flooding my entire body. I was grateful for it. I was cold. So cold, my jaw clenched, my teeth chattered, and goosebumps rose everywhere. He had my sword. Had I dropped it, or had he just taken it from my numb fingers? That was three times he'd taken my blade. Was I really getting sloppy? When I was younger, I never would have dropped my blade.
Breathe. Simply breathe. I am with you, Dante. Breathe.
I rested my forehead against the oddly soft material of his coat, filled my lungs with the musk smell of demon, alien. It steadied me. The lunatic urge to sob retreated.
Calm. Steady, Dante. Breathe.
I'm okay. We have to get out of here.
Very well.
But he didn't move. And neither did I.
We have to find a place to stay, and I have to...
Leave it to me.
I've got to pack. Anubis eterka. Seta ukvet sate vapukurov.
The familiar invocation bolstered me. He didn't move until I did. I rocked back on my heels and he let me go, his arms sliding free. His face was blank. Set, his eyes burning holes. The mark on my shoulder throbbed insistently. He held my sword up, silently, and I took it from his hand.
Thanks.
I was shaky, but myself again. Jeframel nodded, watching me. I wasn't sure what he was looking for, but he examined my face as if the nine canons were written there. Heat, a purely human heat, rose to my cheeks.
It is my honor. I swear to you, on the waters of Lethe, Dante Valentine, I will allow no harm to come to you.
But Santino...
We will find a way to kill him. You and I. Pack your bag, Dante. If you are determined to leave this place, let us go quickly.
He sounded utterly calm. The kind of calm that could draw a razor through flesh with only a slight smile.
Sounds like a good idea.
The flowers stirred as more thunder rumbled above the city, and a slight cool breeze stole in through the open window, ruffling petals, swirling the cloying stench of dying blooms against my face. I swayed in place. Jeframel reached out, his golden fingers resting against my cheek for a moment. The touch made my entire body glow with heat.
Jeframel?
Dante?
His glowing eyes held mine.
Hurry.
I did.